Good morning. Praise the Lord. Before we read the word of the Lord, let us pray. Father, we pray that as we open your word, that your spirit would give us understanding. Forgive us from assuming that we understand you and understand your word, and that we can understand it unaided by our own intellect or our own supposed cleverness. Forgive us, Lord, for that kind of thinking. So we want to humble ourselves before you and ask that your spirit would illuminate our minds so that seeing we would see and hearing we would hear, and that we would repent and believe in the wonderful things that you have done to save us and to call us out to be a people for yourself, your own precious possession. So we bless your name and ask that your spirit would dwell here among your people, and that you would teach us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. Hear the word of God. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven golden lampstands, says this, I know your deeds and your toil and perseverance, and that you cannot endure evil men. And you put to the test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not, and you found them to be false. And you have perseverance and have endured for my name's sake and have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the deeds you did at first, or else I am coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. Yet this you do have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the doing of His precious Word. This morning, sermon title is Return to Jesus. Return to Jesus. And this letter written from Jesus to the church at Ephesus, it is thought that would have come around 97 AD during the persecution of Domitian. And this is at a point where Ephesus had already about almost 50 years of Christian history. Ephesus was a trade city, a capital of the province of Asia in what is now modern-day Turkey. It was the religious, cultural, trade, and transportation center. Actually was a religious center. There was the cult of Diana, also known as Artemis, of Ephesus. There was cult prostitution and all that comes with that pursuit. And so you have Ephesus, a very worldly city. And yet, it pleased the Lord to establish a church there in 52 AD. The Apostle Paul preached the gospel there. There were many mighty conversions, lots of societal change. If you remember from reading the book of Acts, there were riots because the silversmiths, their silver trade had gone down, and they weren't selling the shrines and little statues that they had been making, and so they were upset. But many people came to Christ, and later, maybe about 10 years later, Paul wrote the letter to the church at Ephesus, our book of Ephesians in the Bible. And then later on, Paul wrote to Timothy, who was there in Ephesus to ordain elders. And so that was in 66, 67, somewhere around there. And of course, Paul lost his life in 68 during Nero's reign. Then later on, John the Apostle and his adopted mother, Mary, the mother of Jesus, settled in Ephesus. And it is thought that John wrote the three epistles, 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John, from Ephesus in the 90s. And this book, the book of Revelation, is written also by John the Apostle, but it's written from the island of Patmos. And how did John end up on the island of Patmos off of what is now modern-day Turkey? Good question. John was preaching in Ephesus during the late 90s that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And there was a new emperor, Emperor Domitian. And Emperor Domitian wanted to be proclaimed and did proclaim himself as Lord and God. Typically, emperors in those days would wait until they were deceased, and then they would be proclaimed Lord and God. Well, Domitian didn't want to wait to be posthumously declared that. He wanted to have that honor in his lifetime. Very generous of him to himself. And so he proclaimed himself Lord and God, but then John was preaching that Jesus was Lord and God. And so Domitian wanted John silenced. And the first plan to silence John was to bring him to Rome and to put him in boiling oil to kill him, which they did, but he survived it. And so then Domitian decided that, well, we will exile John to Patmos, and he can preach to the rocks and to the ocean there. So Patmos is a barren, rocky, crescent-shaped island, about 13 square miles of caves and mines. And so John found himself there. And Domitian probably thought, well, now we've got him. Well, this is the plan of Domitian and the plan of Satan, but it backfired. God had different plans. And so Jesus, who is the resurrected and ascended King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the eternal Son of God, he appeared to John to encourage him and strengthen him, and also through John to strengthen his church, which was undergoing Domitian's persecution. And so Jesus reveals himself to John and shows forth that he has everything in control, that he will win the battle and the war. And if you read to the end of the book of Revelation, you know that we win. We win because God wins. And because God is all-powerful, and he will overcome. And those in him will also overcome. And this is a much needed exhortation, not just in John's time, but in our time. We are not a church at rest, we are a church at war. And we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, we wrestle against principalities and powers and spiritual forces in high places. And so we need God's encouragement, we need God's blessing and God's revelation to us. We need to be reassured of God's love and God's spirit and God's power in order that we may overcome in our day. And so just as Ephesus needed to be reassured and re-grounded in the love of Jesus, so do we. Ephesus, John would say, return to your first love. And so I say to you also, Presbyterian Church of Cape Cod, return to your first love. Return to Jesus. How do we do that? Well, we need to refocus on Jesus and remember the height from which we've fallen. We need to repent and to redo the first works. We need to refocus on Jesus. This is a call for all of us to behold our God. Behold your God, as it says in Isaiah 40. And if you turn back one page in the book of Revelation, you have a picture of who Jesus is. And John turns in verse 12, chapter 1 and verse 12 in Revelation. I turned to see the voice that was speaking with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. If you remember the golden lampstands are pictures of the church. The church, we the church are called to be lights. We are called to shine the light of the gospel where we are. He looks and sees among the seven golden lampstands, in the middle of the lampstands, one like a son of man, clothed in a robe, reaching to his feet. You remember, the robe that reaches to the feet, that's a priestly garment. Jesus is not only King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he is priest of priests. He is the eternal high priest. And he also has a sash, a gold sash. He's girded across the breast, it says, with a golden girdle. And his head and his hair are white, like wool, like snow. And that's a picture of his ancientness. He is the Son of Man. He is the Ancient of Days, as he's declared in the book of Daniel. And so the whiteness of his hair tells us that he is from eternity. He is the everlasting Father. He is the mighty God. And even before Abraham was, Jesus says, I am. So he is the Lord God Almighty. And he is from of old. It also says that his eyes are like a flame of fire. This speaks of Christ's holiness. He is holy, holy, holy. And his feet are like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace. Again, pointing to his purity, to his holiness. And his voice is as the sound of many waters. What a powerful voice the Lord Jesus Christ in all his glory has. And then it says, he had in his hand seven stars. If you remember from chapter 1, the seven stars are the messengers, or the angels of the churches, the messengers of the churches, the one the ones who preach the gospel, Jesus holds them in His strong right hand, and He upholds them. And based on that truth, I want to encourage you to pray for your messenger. Pray for Pastor James, and remember that God holds him in His right hand. And pray for God to protect your pastor against the onslaughts of the enemy, because he's a target. The enemy would want to stop the message, and so he aims at the messenger. And so I urge you to pray for your pastor. And if you ever do a study of Paul, look up and see how many times he asks directly to the hearers of his letters for prayers. Pray for me. Pray for us also. And so I urge you to pray for your pastor. And so he is one who is held in the right hand of the Lord Jesus. It says, out of Jesus' mouth went a two-edged sword, a sharp two-edged sword, which speaks of the Word of God. The Word of God comes from the mouth of Jesus. That sword, sharper than any two-edged sword, it's able, it's living, it's active, it's able to cut between thoughts and intentions, between soul and spirit. And this is our Lord Jesus. And lastly, it says, His countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. Our parents urge us not to look at the sun shining in its strength, but Jesus' brightness was brighter than that. And so what happened? It says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. Can you imagine seeing Jesus in all his bright glory? And John did, and he fell to the ground as a dead man. Here is John, the one who was closest to Jesus in his earthly life. He was the disciple who Jesus loved, and he falls to Jesus' feet as dead. But Jesus lays his right hand on him and says, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Don't be afraid, John. Don't worry. Don't be overly concerned about what you're going through, what the church is going through. They killed me. But look at me. I am alive forevermore. Amen. I have the keys of Hades and death. This is Jesus. This is our Lord Jesus. Refocus on Him and keep your eyes on Him as you go through the trials that the Lord is pleased to lead you through. Refocus on Jesus. We also must remember. Remember from where you have fallen, it says in verse 5. Remember from where you have fallen. Fallen? Fallen from where? Jesus commended the church at Ephesus. They really had it going on. Think about it. They had persevered. They had deeds and toil. I mean, very strong labor, hard labor, for the sake of Jesus' name. They persevered. It says several times they had perseverance. They had endured. They had not grown weary. They had put to test those who called them apostles and were not, and found them out to be false. Those are no easy tasks. This church had really worked hard to keep the message pure and to keep the message true. But in all of their toil, in all of their hard work, they had fallen, and they had fallen from the position of being in the first love of Jesus. What is that place? Well, it's the place that Paul talked about in Ephesians chapter 3. He prayed for the church at Ephesus. He prayed that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and also built up in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, the height, four dimensions, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And so Paul's prayer was that they would be so filled and engulfed and surrounded by the love of Jesus Christ, and that they would know the love of Christ which passes knowledge even, and that they would be filled with all the fullness of God. And the church had that for a while. They had that. Do you remember in the book of Acts, they brought all the scrolls and all the magic arts, and then they put them in a heap, and they lit them on fire. They wanted to destroy all these things that were really the works of the devil. It says that stack of scrolls was worth about 50,000 drachmas, which translates into about 137 days worth of labor. Worth a lot of money, but really worthless because they're of the evil one. And they just wanted to get rid of that stuff. They didn't want that anymore. They wanted Jesus. They wanted to be filled to overflowing with the love of God. That's where they were. Remember from where you have fallen. Husbands, do you remember when your heart first started beating quickly for your beloved who eventually became your wife? And wives, do you remember when your heart first started beating quickly? And not only that, how about those of you who have been converted to faith in Christ Jesus? Didn't your heart beat quickly when you realized, oh, God really loves me? He really loves me. He left heaven to come and rescue me. I, who was on the fast track to hell and deserving it and enjoying the fast track to hell, God rescued me, grabbed me, and says, no, don't go this way. Don't go this way of destruction. Turn around. Turn to Jesus. Love Him who first loved you. Trust Him as Lord and Savior. Do you remember how your heart responded and loved Him at the first? We need to remember and return to that first love. Jesus commands us in John 15. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Abide in my love. Remain in my love. Dwell in my love. Set up your household in my love. This is where you are to settle. Abide in my love. Also abide in the Father's love. Also love one another as I have loved you. How do we love one another? As Jesus loved us. As Jesus gave Himself. He gave Himself for you. And now you, in turn, must give yourselves to one another. First, give yourself to the Lord. And then give yourselves to one another. We need to be and to create Jesus lovers. And we need to love one another just as Jesus loved us. We must also repent. Also from verse 5, it says, "Remember therefore from where you have fallen and repent." And repent. Thomas Watson tells us that there are 6 ingredients of the spiritual medicine called repentance. We need to have the sight of sin, the sorrow for sin, the confession of sin, shame for sin, hatred for sin, and then turning from sin to the living God. We need to see sin as it really is. It's utterly sinful. It's an abomination. It's a pipeline to hell. We don't want it. We must drop it like it's a hot potato. Drop it and ask the Lord to give us a love for God instead of a love for the world. Secondly, we need to have a sorrow for sin. Sorrow not that we were caught or because of sin's bad repercussions to us, but because we've grieved God's Father heart. And we need to see it as God sees it, and that we've grieved the Holy Spirit. Also, we must confess sin. Not just confess it, yeah, I did it, but also forsake it. And then also not justify it. Sometimes we confess, yeah, I did this, but these were the extenuating circumstances, and God understand. No. No justifying. Let the cross, let the blood of Jesus be your only justification. Also, we need to have a shame for our sin. It says in Jeremiah 6, regarding the sin of the people of God during Jeremiah's time, were they ashamed when they committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed. They did not even know how to blush. Jeremiah 6:15. Sometimes we are that way regarding our sin. I'm that way sometimes, and I need to repent and be ashamed of my sin. We need to have a hatred for sin. We need to loathe our sin. We need to have the same mindset regarding our sin as God does. God hates our sin. Watson also says, Christ is never loved till sin be loathed. Christ is never loved till sin be loathed. And so may the Lord give us a loathing and a hatred for our sin, even as Jesus hates our sin. Jesus would rather die than let sin continue in his people. And so we need to have the same mindset. I would rather die than continue in my sin. And we need to resist to the point of blood, if necessary, in our striving against sin. We must die to self and live to God, understanding that we were crucified with Christ, and that when he died to sin, we died, and when he was raised, we were raised to newness to life. This is a mark of one who overcomes, a hatred of sin in the midst of spiritual warfare. And then lastly, turning from sin, all sin, to God, who is the source of all genuine repentance and faith. It says, he who overcomes, I will grant to him to eat of the tree of life that is in the paradise of God. What a great promise. And God gives us power to overcome sin. He gives us power through the blood of Jesus, through the testimony of the people of God, and then also because they did not love their lives to the point of death. And I get those three from Revelation 12:11. These are the things that God gives so that we can overcome. Lastly, we must redo the first works. It says in Revelation 5, do the deeds you did at first, or else I am coming to you to remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. You know, if you go to Ephesus today, there's no church there. There's no church there. It's gone. They had a lampstand, but apparently at some point they didn't repent. And Christ made good on His promise and removed the lampstand. And I think it's important for all of us to fear the Lord and to consider that that's a possibility here. The Lord could remove the lampstand here. And I pray that He doesn't. And I pray that this church continues as a witness and a light to the gospel. But we can't rest on our laurels. We can't rest on what we've done in the past. We must rest firmly on Jesus and His sacrifice, His love. That is foundational. Because if I give my body to be burned, if I give away all I have to the poor, and I have not love, I am nothing. And our churches are nothing unless we truly are founded, rooted and grounded and built up in the love of Jesus. And so, beloved, rekindle the fire. Be rooted and built up in the love of Jesus. Pray those prayers that Paul prayed for the church, that you would, that Christ would dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. This is an experiential knowledge. This is not a head knowledge. This is a knowledge that grips our hearts and our spirits and returns us to the bosom of Jesus Christ. Rekindle the fire. Be rooted and grounded in love. Stop quenching and resisting and grieving the Holy Spirit, and be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And on a last note, there are those who put a lot of focus on Mary, the mother of Jesus, and it's thought that Mary may have settled in Ephesus. But you know what Mary said? She has one recorded command in the Scriptures. And you find that in John chapter 2 where she says, whatever He says, whatever Jesus says, do it. Do it. Now that's a true mother and brother of Jesus. The ones who hear and do the Word of God. Whatever Jesus says, do it. And so I encourage you, hear what the Spirit says to the churches and do it. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're grateful that you don't leave us in the world in darkness and in battle without encouragement. You send yourself to us through your Spirit. Thank you for the so great salvation that you have accomplished solely on the cross of Jesus Christ. And thank you that He died to take away our sin and to bring us to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit. And so we also are able to walk in newness of life. And so, Lord, we pray that we would walk in that new life that you have given us. And Lord, we pray that that our focus would again return to Jesus, and that you would rekindle in us by the power of your Spirit that love love from Jesus and for Jesus, because it says we love because you first loved us and gave your Son to be a propitiation for us, to bear away our sin and to bring us into your presence, even into the holy place. Thank you, dear Father, for welcoming us in through the blood of the Lamb of God. And we pray, Lord, that you would grant us repentance, true and thorough repentance. Yes, that includes confession and shame regarding our sin, and a hatred for our sin, and a full turning from it and to you. And we pray that you would rekindle that love, that we would redo the first things, the first devotions toward you. Oh, Father, we pray that you would do this, and that this church would continue as a beacon of your light and your love in this place and even to the remotest parts of the earth. We pray it, and if it happens, we know that it will be because of your mighty Spirit working in your people. So give us ears to hear what you are saying to the churches. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.